Blog Talk Radio.
Like a bird on a tree, I'm just sitting here. I got time, it's clear to see. From up here, the world seems small. We can sit together, it's so beautiful, you and me. Meant to be in the great outdoors, forever free.
jumped the gun on that song. I'm so sorry about that. I wasn't paying attention to my monitor. And that what happens, especially also if you have a mute button and you forget to mute it all the time. But that is what I love about poetry. I have so much fun with everybody. This is Garden of Enlightenment with Lou Yu Wildev and my co-host Weaver of Dreams, Poetic Picasso and Gray Eye Smith. And I am so looking forward to doing the show today. This group is called Late Night Poets. And you can find us on the biggest poetry website, allpoetry.com. It's free to join, and you can come in and join our group to be inspired with poetry and wonderful people who like to write. And just to tell you a little bit about ourselves, Late Night Poets has books on Amazon.com. Poetry was donated from around the world for these books to support these radio shows. And they are exactly like our group's name, Late Night Poetry, and these are anthologies, and they are affordable and beautiful gifts. So I want you, we're going to go ahead, we're doing front page picks, and so excited to highlight everybody in Late Night Poets that has gotten front page picks, and the poetry is just amazing. So let me go ahead and pick up a caller. Hello, Katie.
Hello, my darling. How are you?
I'm happy. I'm happy to hang out with you guys. I'm in a good mood.
Oh, good old.
It's Monday
good old.
Night.
I'm in a good mood. Oh, true. Very true.
Welcome, welcome. And Katie is my right-hand man on this show. And we have the one and only, the sexy Barry White. Laurent.
You got to cut that out. You got to cut that out. Now, if I remember, Barry White is really rotund, and I no longer resemble that, having just celebrated my 50th pound gone in about 6 months.
Well done.
Oh, congratulations. But you have his luscious voice, Laurent. I don't think you look like him. You just got to close your eyes, and you can hear that deep bass of your voice, and it's just fabulous.
Let me whisper in your ear. All the words you whisper here.
Swoon.
Oh, you're gonna make us find fans. I got to fan myself because you got us all so. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I'm
thank
sure
you.
I do. Yeah, come on now. Come on, you stroke with
you
the
know
best
it.
Of them. You stroke with the
Happy to have you. And caller 512, who am I speaking with?
Hola, buenas noches. It's me.
Hola, buenas noches. ¿Cómo está, chulo?
Pues muy bien, gracias. Muy bien. Gracias. Muy bien.
That's good. And what
How
more
you?
Could
How
you have than... Frank and Laurent with Katie and us. We got a hot show tonight, so I am so looking forward to it. Okay, Katie.
Well, today's Monday, no?
Yesterday is Monday.
Oh, all right. You almost had me there with Wednesday.
That's coming. Oh, that's right, huh? Well, thank you for staying up so late with us. Okay, ready to go, Weaver.
Okay, I bought a Chrome bike in February by Hats. And I'll kick this one off, shall I? And I'll just read it, seeing as how I got it. I bought a Chrome bike in February. Okay. In March, when the ground was smoking like from the crematoria, because people were burning the spring grass, I stopped at the pedestrian crossing, and I registered him getting on the tram. It was a blow from the blue. Cupid's arrow pierced my back. I circled around the stop every day for months, hoping to see him again. I wanted to give up when I saw him in June. He was walking in his green T-shirt and blue shorts. I chased him down the sidewalk, his footsteps headed for the city market. He bought potatoes, leeks, carrots, and parsley. He probably wanted to cook a goulash. He threw red apples into the bag and strawberries, and I thought, oh my, just champagne is missing. At the end, he bought the flowers, a bouquet of freesias in rich colors. It was already clear to me as a slap in the face that he had a girl. I was curious anyway, and I stalked him intently with my bike. He stopped at the red gate, and he rang the bell. A curly blonde head poked out of the window with the smile of a goddess. I turned away frustrated. As I pedaled up the hill, the rain began to fall. And by the time I got home, I was as wet as a bait on a hook. End poem.
You did a fabulous job of reading this poem by heart. I really enjoyed it. I liked all the details. I liked, you know, that you know, hoping when you see that person for the first time, oh, that's him, and I want to be with him. And I just liked how she looked for him for days and how he went grocery shopping. And of course, it was so sad when she saw him give flowers to another girl. And, you know, I could just, the disappointment, you could just feel it right there, everything. So I thought this was wonderfully penned and wonderfully read by Weaver. What did you think, Laurent?
It really is an outstanding piece, an ekphrastic review of Guernica by Picasso, which has dominant features of yearning faces from one end of the piece to the other. And it's one of his more famous ones, and he's taken little bit of the poet, Annalise Jacquemet's Hats, the poet has taken bits of that and created a story out of it, which is really rather special. I love the fact that the title, I Bought a Chrome Bike in February, the bike is not mentioned once in the entire piece until at the end when I turned away frustrated as I pedaled up the hill. The rain began to fall, and by the time I got home, I was as wet as a bait on a hook. I just love what you did with that.
Yeah, so did I. Excellent, excellent comment. And what did you think, Frank?
I thought the poem really was endearing. You know, I think we all can relate to this type of poetry. You know, I think we've all been in beforehand. And I like the innocence in this poem, the sincerity as well reflected in this poem. You know, the thought of just being there and wondering, pondering, and then in the end seeing that person with another person is something that very much, I see it, it's very poignant in this poem here in the end. When I turned away frustrated, I pedaled up the hill. This is just a remarkable, like the way the perception of this poem was exceptional as well. So I thought it was a great poem and a great read as well.
Agreed. And what did you think about the poem that you read, Weaver?
Oh, I thought it was wonderful. Unfortunately, as I was reading it, I was kind of hoping he was getting the flowers for his grandmother or buying the flowers for his
mother. Yeah, me too.
And I thought, no, don't let it be what I think it's going to be. And it was. Oh, how disappointing for all of us, I think. I think I talk for all of us here. But yes, it was beautifully done. All the little details, as was said already, and things that obviously you should put into a piece of poetry like this to make it alive. And I thought it was wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, it was like it was suspenseful, but not in the way that terrifies you, but it's in the way that you hope, oh, yes, yes, yes. And then it's like, aww.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. Yes, yeah, she did. And we are ready for our next poem, sweetheart.
Okay. The next one is...
Oh, this one, we might want to wait on this one.
Oh, yes.
Because
sorry,
she said she might call, and I did send her a note. So just in case
Not a
better
problem.
Be safe.
That was my
sorry.
Fault. I apologize. I actually noticed it earlier, and I don't know why I didn't notice it when I was picking it up, but it's an age thing. It's, you know, you get an old lady. What can I say?
It's late hours there where you're at, Weaver. You understand that.
Oh, thank you. And I've had about 4 hours sleep for the last 48.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Life in today.
Yeah, I was
I
trying
understand
to get
that.
But yes, anyway, sorry
you
about that.
You need to
we've
take
now
a
got
cat nap.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to sleep on my cat. I'm not going to sleep on my cat. Okay. Now, have I done this one properly? Right, okay. Lucifer's last embrace. Wow, I like it already. So, Lucifer's last embrace. And, Frank, would you read this for us, please?
So do you want, I believe there was a song part, do you want me just to read it then?
Oh, yeah, there's a recording for this.
Is there? Oh.
And yes, there is.
Okay.
And let me go ahead and get it. And before I do that, I want to welcome caller 778, who are we speaking with?
Hi, Lou. Hi, Weaver. Hi, Frank.
Oh, hi.
No, hi,
hey, Barry, how you doing?
Hello there, my friend.
Good, thanks. Sorry, I'm late.
Oh, that's
hi,
okay. Thank you for calling. Do you want to go ahead and play Arcana? This was supposed to be for this month, so we are going to play it again because it is so fabulous. And Greg, could you please get us the recording for Lucifer's Last Embrace by Arcana Amour?
Yeah, okay. Just 1 second here.
It's like my voice there tonight, though, either.
Sorry, I'm going to try and do better for the rest of the evening.
No, it's okay. That's okay.
Thank you.
Don't worry about it.
Okay, here we go.
This kingdom hath been ruled thine pitiful, pious word long enough. The time is nigh for thine reckoning, for mine army hath gathered behind me.
Mine soldiers of light hath assembled to teach thee thine place. I shall shed tears for thee, and those who choose to follow midst thine revolt. Know this well, once fallen, I shall cast thee and thine minions below. Unto the lake of fire, I shall grant thee the key to await thy judgment.
Mine horde shalt vanquish thine simpering servile soldiers. Mine wrath awaiteth who tasteth Michael's defeat and claim thine reign. Judgment is mine to seize, knowest thy regal rule shalt fall. Keepest thine key, for it shalt keep thee warm during the cold to cometh.
Lucifer, thy slithering tongue hath blinded thee. Thou art truly deceived. Thou hast become naught but a blind dragon. Thine radiance shines darkly. Thine power shall falter over the fallen world and a host of demons therein. That thine sorrowful dream shall be smited to fall like lightning from heaven.
Thou knowest not the limit of mine might. Thou is'st comforted by false faith. For I would'st rather rule in such nether domain than remain here to serve thee. But thou shalt tasteth the whip of mine tail as I sweep down the stars. All that shalt remain is desolation and sufferance beyond thy view.
Nay, heed me well, for I have shown thee great patience and nurture. Unto this day thou hast been granted great esteem upon thy wings. Now I giveth unto thee a last embrace, as I summon my faithful unto the breach. This day shalt create a divide in heaven, that thee shall come up to know it well, as hell.
I want to thank Arcana for that fantastic recording, the fantastic voice and background and music. And I'm not sure if that was Stelina who did the female voice, but this was just amazing, where it talks about the battle in the heavens and the conversation between Satan and God before he was thrown out, because, you know, like the Bible brings out, you know, that Satan had disguised himself as an angel of light, and he would be was going to be thrown out of the heavenly heavens, and he was. And this is just awesome. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, yes. The production was incredible. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to do that. Echo.
Oh, me
echo,
too.
Echo. So good. Not in normal conversation, probably. Oh, I thought, as usual, amazing. just also beautifully put together, telling us that story of that depraved person with the horns and the tail.
Mm.
We don't want to talk about him. No, no. No, I thought it was absolutely wonderful. I just feel like, you know, you're right. Where is the popcorn? Let's sit back and enjoy the show. Yes, I love it.
Yeah.
And I love the font, too.
It was fantastic. Agreed. Thank you. And what did you think, Laurent?
It was an epic piece, a journey taken through dark spaces, ringing voices, promising battle, dark against light, spectral voices in immortal combat on the spiritual plane. It was wonderfully and professionally presented.
Agreed. Thank you, Laurent. And what did you think, Frank?
Well, first of all, it was a fantastic rendition in production as well. And if you scroll down to my comments, he actually responded to my question there. He actually did the voiceovers on all the voices there that you heard. So I commend him
did?
On this. Yes, this is what... Yeah, scroll down, you see my comments there. You see him, he responded to my inquiry there. And for that, I have to commend him. You know, he is a fantastic, from one artist to another artist, he is a fantastic artist, and he's getting better each and every time as he does the SoundClouds. And I know he does these collabs with Selena often. This piece here was all of his work there, all his creativity. And as what Laurent was saying, as what was said before as well, this is a fantastic piece of mythology there, of Lucifer downfall there. And I really enjoyed above all, this is not just a suspense of this, not just a narrative, but I would say as well the dialogue, you know, there that was interspersed throughout the film. I thought this was just a fantastic piece, and I was waiting there for a dip of caramel popcorn in the end because this was just great.
Nothing like a nice cold Coke or Pepsi with hot buttered popcorn. Whoop, whoop.
I'll take caramel.
No, thank you. And what did you think of the poem, Gray?
Well, the poem is epic, as was the performance. I can't believe that he did both voices. And, you know, I love the going between heaven and hell, you know, the battle therein. So it was just a fantastic poem. Beautiful performance.
Agreed. Okay, Katie, we're back to you.
Okay, we have The Halloween Game by Damn It, Dave. Damn It, Dave. I love that name. Oh, I just love it. Laurent, would you be an absolute angel? Do a wee bissy. It's a good night, folks. It's a good night.
All right. I'll put the devil aside. I'll be an angel for you.
Thank you.
This is called The Halloween Game by Damn It Dave. He doesn't play the Halloween game, or any game for that matter. He's old and infirm. Everything hurts. And he broadcasts his pain like an AM radio station. There are no decorations on his lawn, no jack-o'-lanterns glowing on his front porch, and no illuminated porch lights to draw begging brats like moths to his front door. Inside, a single lamp is glowing at around 60 watts. His door is locked, and his window blinds are shut. Except for a single slit, he peers through to make sure miniature ghouls are treating and not tricking, and not in his yard. If the doorbell rings, he tries to ignore it, although his dog goes into commando mode, drowning out Matlock on the TV. Those who are persistent are greeted by a grizzled bearded bear in boxers and a bathrobe, holding a snub-nosed 38.
Oh.
But these little brats don't know that.
I have that cranky old Scrooge at Christmas time around Halloween.
Yeah,
I
was just saying
oh, my
that.
God.
Exactly.
You know what? I used to give candy but I had stopped, and I'm going to tell you a little Halloween Christmas story. This lady had opened her door, and her little kid was giving out the teenagers and all the little kids coming by to get candy, and they ended up what he did, because when you open the door, there's nothing to stop you from a teenage figure. They both pushed her inside the house, and they murdered her. So now I'm just like, you know, what do you, I just, and I'm laughing because this kind of reminds me, you know, of something that would happen, you know, those Christmas tales when, or the, you know, I just, when I saw him trying to, I got a big kick. If the doorbell rings, he tries to ignore it, and although his dog goes into commando mode, and I can just see the dog barking like crazy because that's what they do. And then drowning out Matlock on TV. Oh my God, that really made me laugh because I used to watch that. And then how he describes himself opening the door with, but still, you can't point a gun at children. But I mean, this was for me like dark, cold humor, something you would think about doing, but not actually do. Except I did like this where he says, because I could see myself doing this inside a single lamp and glowing at around 60 watts. His door is locked and his window blinds are shut. Okay, that's me now. Oh, man.
You must be isolated there.
Yeah, just like, you know, it's getting dangerous. So. No. I'm not trying to get off. It's because what had happened was that I had to call my mom because they had on the news that, you know, how like you naturally go out your front door to bring in your groceries. And what they're doing is they'll stand on the side of the house, and while you go back outside to get your groceries and your door's open, they come inside the house and wait for you. Or if watering your yard, if you're watering your yard and you're on the side of the house, they look for women, older women, older people, and even women with children.
Yeah.
No, but even women with children, they will do this. Yeah. You know, I can understand this. This kind of reminds me of, you know, a funnier type of Die Hard type of movie during Christmas time. But, you know, you have to think smarter, not work harder in protecting yourself. So just, you know, just a word of caution to women to just be careful with pet doors. Being open who you open it to. And I love the way you read this, Laurent. You made me laugh. It was so enjoyable hearing you read it. What did you think about the poem, Weaver?
Well, I thought it was lovely, but I'm never leaving my home again. It's a horrible place out there.
You know what I did, Weaver? I bought my mom one of those rubber band things that look like they're really colorful. You can get them in like bright neon orange and neon green. Okay, now of course I had to pick the neon green because I thought it just looked so fabulous. Reminded me of alien goo.
Mm-hmm.
But you wrapped it around your wrist, and she would lock the door, and she goes outside in water, and she unlocks it when she goes back in.
Good.
Better safe than sorry.
Sure.
Not trying to terrorize
definitely.
People, but,
no. No, it's
you know.
All right. I'm not scared at all.
I'll make sure I veer off on my neighbors then.
All the kids go to the rich. All the kids go to the rich sections of town now, or schools to trick or treat.
I turn the light up there. They don't come
out.
Yeah.
And if they're too close to the door, your little doggy will bark. What's your doggy's name, out of curiosity?
Well, my dog is called Daisy.
Yes.
Chihuahua.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, she's She's close by. I mean, but that's why I'm not able to speak too loud at times, because why, she can hear me at times. And then, but she already knows my voice there.
Well, I'm just waiting for my cat to try and sit on my keys and unplug me or something.
Yeah.
You can hear the bird.
The bird.
But my cat bothers
me. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, they're
we all want something.
They're in the other room.
We all want affection, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't, you know, you just got to love your animals. They're so cute. And
Laurent,
what did you, and Laurent, what did you think of the poem you read?
Well, I will say I sat on my doorstep with a red jack-o'-lantern and Halloween music playing on a remote speaker every Halloween, so I do participate there, but... This was dark. Laughter with
Do you have any pictures?
Do I have,
any pictures, Laurent? Do you have any
of
pictures
me shivering
of
in the cold? None that I'll share.
Yeah.
You got to
Okay, now we're digressing. God damn it! This poem, by Dave. And darkness of wit. There was laughter with black edges. It was a wonderful character portrayal. And Dave, part of me sees you smiling hugely in your bathrobe as the brats flee, screaming.
I have got to say, I love his sense of humor. And I'm going to tell him that in the group, and just in case he's not listening. And what did you think of the poem, Frank?
Well, you know, after all this weird conversation we had of what's going on, this really just makes me think about how many people really are isolated, you know, not only for Halloween, but in other festivities as well, and how we relate to, you know, our environs, and in particular, the people around us. You know, this I'm certain this is a curve of wit. He's expressing humor there, but to some extent, these things do happen there. You know, I don't think it's severe, but I do ponder at times, you know, where our lives are at times when we're so isolated, that we don't realize at times that, you know, the festivities around us are just nothing more but festivities, that we take it to another level. But I have the poem, it's excellent, and
agreed.
I like them. I like the human expression of this poem.
I did.
There's a reason why they call
him
Gamma David there.
Yeah. It just kind of reminded me of Grumpy Old Men. I don't know if you've guys seen those movies. They are hilarious. It's just so funny. And, Greg, you're being quiet. You're supposed to jump in and join the fun. Where are you?
I'm here. I was muted. Trying to keep quiet.
Well, that's the whole point, not being quiet.
Yeah.
Oh, he's in the corner tonight.
Yeah, exactly. You did a wonderful job of reading that, Laurent, but you really brought the humor out in that, right? And it was a fantastic poem, very engaging and visceral. You know, you could see all this stuff that he talked about, and I thought it was fascinating. He's got an excellent sense of humor.
Agreed. Great comment.
He's
Greg.
On the board
Thank
there.
You.
He says thanks. He's on the board there, Lou. He says
I
thanks.
See him. I like his. He's for his avatar. He has this snowman with the little sticks. It just reminded me when we used to build those when we were little, and it just kind of matches
true.
His personality. I like it. Like your avatar, Dave. Okay, we're ready for our next poem.
Okay, we got it. Melting Away Frosted Layers by Forgotten Dream. And would you care to read this for us, please?
Melting Away Frosted Layers by Forgotten Dream. Once a chiseled ice sculpture, sharp corners and biting tongue, steely stare with rigid arctic stance, a fortress of snow surrounding. But his laugh is the August sun radiating amber heat, molecules scurrying and frosty mass liquefying, fingers flicker like a candle flame, dancing across my alabaster skin, shoulders softening like pale yellow butter on toasted bread. Winter flower stems spine defrost, curving closer to his bonfire chest, nestling damp cheek against his pulsing sternum, condensation sized mingle as his woodsy warm breath washes over my evaporating bloodless lips, wallowing, crackling embers. Sparks glow in once dark caverns, sleeping gardens awaken in bloom, face shines with beating sweat as bodies melt and twist together like molten glass fusing. Ooh, I like that poem, and she wrote it for a prompt. I'm cold as ice, but in the right hands, I'll melt. And she did. And I actually got to say, I fell in love with this
you
stanza
melted as well?
Because it was so, yes, the stanza where she talks about his laugh, but his laugh is like the August sun radiating amber heat, molecules stirring and frosty mass liquefying. I just thought that was so visual and so deeply sensual to when you hear that person that you love and their laugh just vibrates and is rich. And I fell in love with that stanza, Forgotten Dreams. Like, beautiful poem, very layered. And what did you think, Weaver?
Oh, I'm not surprised you like it that much. It's so, so good. I mean, it just, right from that first stanza, I mean, I just thought that was, once a chiseled ice sculptor, sharp corners and biting tongue, steely stare with rigid Arctic stands, a fortress of snow surrounding. Well, there's somebody who doesn't want to be thinking about anything to do with love. Obviously been hurt in the past and thinking, I'm not doing that again. But there is this lovely chap who, radiating amber heat, isn't that just wonderful? So yes, softens mm-hmm. everything and lightens her up and cuddles her and kisses her. And she's a very happy lass. So I have to say, I really loved it. I loved it. Well done.
Thank you. And what did you think about the poem, Laurent?
Sparks glow in once dark caverns. Sleeping gardens awaken and bloom. Faces shine with beating sweat. His bodies melt and twist together like molten glass fusing. Masterful metaphors in this piece. Truly a work of the pen that brings the heat, both physically and literarily. Great piece.
Thank you. Wonderful comment. And how about you, Frank?
I thought it was a fantastic reading, a fantastic poem, and the metaphors, that's what Laurent said, a very exquisite. I never knew that a snowman could be so central, but he did a fantastic job of convincing me in his poem. Great poem.
I agree. It is a fantastic poem. And how about you, Greg?
You did a beautiful read on it as well. But, you know, this is captivating. You know, you can picture all this as she writes it. Sparks glow in once dark caverns. Sleeping gardens awaken in bloom. Face shines with beating sweat as bodies melt and twist together like molten glass fusing. I mean, that's so sensual and beautiful.
Agreed. Thank you, Gray. Okay, we're back for our next front page pick poem.
Okay. But we have Fair Game. Fair Game by Laurent. Would you be so kind as to read this, please? Or is there a SoundCloud of a check? No, there is.
We got the SoundCloud.
Yeah, we got it. Who's going to switch them on? That's what I want to know.
I was going to ask the same thing, yeah? Is your mute?
You don't have the same sense of humor as me. It's terrible.
No, I like your sense of humor. And we are ready.
Okay.
Thank you.
This is called Fair Game. Limping home again. Bottle doesn't weigh much, but she does. Gripping my bad arm. The one I write with. Angela, her name does no justice. Another woman, perhaps. I renamed her Clara, only to myself. I am who used to. Clara Cluck was that old, old cartoon memory. And I will mount that hen memory, wings flapping until the dawn bursts from my throat, spilling onto our sheets. As she protests and squirms, I'm undecided to properly unleash the bitch within her molting feathers, craving anything and more of it. Her gaze is sequins, stars and roofing cement, dark and gummy, surrounded by plastic bits, cheap plastic stars. They are meant for peeling, perhaps with my teeth, in order to decorate her furnace, which sucks at me for red meat, with these same flashing flakes, applying them with my tongue as she calls out to alien gods. We are almost home when she clutches at herself, pulling underwear down and straight out to make water. I join her, and we decorate the worn cobbles with deep yellow piss, reeking of cheap booze and failing livers. I've pissed in places you don't normally piss. Dark incontinent streets are always fair game for the indelicate, staggering sod. End poem.
And can you read your author's notes, your prompt, though?
Yeah, this is a book, one of Pam's, I think. And the prompt was, sometimes you just have to pee in the sink. So, there you have it.
Okay, there's nothing worse when you've been drinking and you've got to pee and there is no bathroom in sight.
What do you improvise?
You know, when you got to pee, you got to pee. And I mean, this is so, okay, don't misunderstand me, but I do like the raunchiness of this. Because the visuals are so lifelike, Ron, that I can literally see you walking down the street with this woman on your arm. Y'all been drinking, and you know what you look like when you've been drinking too much. And then she's holding on to her bed arm, and you don't even know who this woman is. Julie, Mary, Clara. you know, and oh my God, this was very visual for me because I do like chicken wings. Okay. When I heard you read this, I most of the time I was either smiling so hard my cheeks hurt or my mouth was in an O, like, oh, yeah. Okay, and this was the oh, damn. I am her rooster. Clara Cluck was that old, old cartoon memory. And I will mount. That hen memory, wings flapping until the dawn burst from my throat, spilling out on our sheets. And that was just a total visual memory. I could see fluids everywhere. Oh, man, Laurent, this was, I didn't know you could write like this. Yeah, this is, and then the alien, okay, this one. And then in order to decorate her furnace, which you use, your metaphors are so visual, but they're so sharp with the description that you literally can hear and taste and smell and visualize everything. In order to decorate her furnace, which sucks at me for red meat with these same flashing flasks, applying them with my tongue as she calls out to the alien god. Oh my god, I just like, this is good. This is real good. I enjoyed it thoroughly, Laura.
Thank you.
And what did you think, Weaver?
Well. Well,
the English.
Exactly.
Well.
Exactly. I think we may have to fall into one very soon. Oh, my goodness me. My giddy up. What can I say? Who would have thunk it? I'm very impressed, by the way. You're really quite daring, aren't you, you little devil, you?
Wow.
I loved it. I loved it. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I don't normally enjoy the rudities of life because I'm, you know, I'm a wee laddie. I mean, a wee laddie. But, yes, I loved it.
I'm glad you got that.
Very, it's very, thank you. Hello. Very clever. Never too outrageous, but maybe a little bit outrageous at times. But I just really thoroughly enjoyed it, and it was very clever. And thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you.
Thank you. What did you think, Frank?
Well, I can see why this is called fair game here, Laurent. You did a fantastic job. This was just incredible. This was, you know, I was listening, and I agree, the metaphors were just superb in this poem, yeah. But I was wondering as the suspense was building up as each and every stanza read. And then, of course, I looked at the bottom, I scrolled down, and of course, it was on a quote there, but I thought you did fantastic. Even with the humor in the end, the sensuality here was very vivid here. But, you know, I do agree. This is like what Lou was saying, these types of, you know, when you get into these types of circumstances or, you know, you have to improvise. To a certain extent, improvisation. And pitting is one of those things that at times, you know, we can't really help it at times, even in a moment so central as this. Great job there, Laurent.
Uh-huh. Well, I would like inquiring minds want to know how many of those situations you've gotten into, Frank.
Oh, God, but let's not stop our lap. It's a long show. Does it say I've hit the tequila glass once a few times. I've missed very few of those shots there.
Never had that Coke can in the car with you on a long road trip, huh?
There you go.
No. Yeah, but, you know, there's something. Tequila, I don't know what it is, but tequila makes people crazy because, you know, here I was, the mild-mannered working person in a hospital, and I went out drinking for my first time, 22. I was not a young one. I went out and I found out tequila, green chile barbecue burritos, and beer do not mix.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. And yeah. And tequila will make you do things you did not believe you would do. You will be dancing on tables.
Did you have the worm?
Oh.
No, the worm. Did you take
the worm?
Is there a worm?
No, I know what you're talking about. That thing is give me a gummy. I love that. There's something about
gummies of
don't even make me think. And then when you bite it squishes out, that's gotta be that alien that was talking. was talking about. No. And Gray, have you ever, and what did you think of Laurent's poem? What story do you got to tell?
Well, I thought he did a wonderful read on it. And, yeah, you know, I mean, outside of a bar after it was closed, you know, I had to go. And next thing you know, there's flashlights on me and it's the cops. You can't be doing that.
Oh, wow.
So is it
did you tell them it was graffiti there?
Sorry?
What did you tell the police officer?
I just said, you know, the bar's closed. I had to go. I'm waiting for my cab.
Did you get a ticket for that or what?
You didn't get a ticket?
Oh, well.
No.
Yeah, you're fortunate there.
We have
but then again, you wonder, if I could say really quickly, then again, why would you get a ticket for that if it's in, you know, you're not exposing yourself completely? I mean, I don't see why you're,
because you're
in a corner.
Because you're pulling it out. That's why.
He said, I'll try to bar in the corner. I mean, he wasn't at the stop sign there.
Well, he's lucky he didn't get a ticket or get pulled in. Because that's mostly, you know. Yeah, you get in trouble for that, for exposure. You got to find a big bush. You just got to find bushes to go hide behind. That's just all.
Why are we staring off the bushes now?
And you know what? I actually went and peed behind some because I'm kind of shy. So even though I may not look like I'm shy, I'm actually get embarrassed and shy. So I ran behind a bush to go to the bathroom to, you know, because I had to pee. And the cows chased me. Three cows chased me.
Oh, God.
I barely could get my pants back up and over the fence. And I was
If the bushes had thorns there, I was leaving.
Yeah. Well, Laurent has put a challenge up there, gummy bears and tequila, the next poem. And I just might do a contest and invite certain people.
I might write one. If you put a compass up, I'll write you. I'll write your piece.
Okay. And I hope, Laurent, will you honor me and do one too?
How could I not?
And Gray?
Absolutely.
Gray? Okay. And Katie?
Yeah. Well, you see, I kind of missed the
I don't quite know
what we're talking about at the moment because I was doing something different.
Laurent put in the group, we need to do a gummy bear and tequila poem contest. And I think I'm going to do an invite only. And just to have some fun, just for fun.
Yes.
And, okay. All right. That would be great. And see if anybody else wants to write for it too. And we're ready for our next poem.
You should get more rights. You would get rights for that. I'm sure people would.
Yeah. I'd ask Naomi and Pam. That would be fun.
Yeah. You would ask Captain B as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you say gummy bears, is that just a sweet, or am I missing the point somehow?
Yeah, it's a sweet. It's a sweet.
It's a sweet. Okay.
Gummy bears, it's for sweet, and also you can use the CBD gummy bear.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. Yeah, we're getting that. That sounds more fun.
It's a sweet bear, Eva. It's a sweet bear. That's all you need to know.
Oh, we are so bad.
All right.
Okay, now we
are. And I love this poem, Laurent.
Thank you.
No, we're still there. Okay, we're ready.
Thank you. Right, December Rose by Robert Polesky. And Frank, would you read just please?
All right, I'll give it a start here. This is called December Rose by Robert Polesky, and it goes like this. You came to me when leaves were withered. Future was bleak as frozen hilltops. Alone and drear, no birds were singing, just silent kisses of icy snow. You calmed down savage boreal winds, sprung back the breeze of summer rain, unfurled the blooming on sunny ridges, brought order back to winter escape. December blooming, Christmas rose as sultry as a summer haze, coming so late into my life, turns humdrum gloom into the rainbow, brings colours back into my life, gives me a gentle hope that the brimmer days of winter gloom, dreadfully, they will never come. December order leads me out from a sightless box I've dwelled in vain, to a countless, cloudless, verdant metal, transforms the heavens blue again, wakes up refrains that chant within, recalls the spring, comes back alive, reblooms the darling buds of May, reverses graying hair, back black. December love on mellow wave, feels off the aimless frigid void, drifting behind the jagged shoreline, finding new paths to freely choose. From no indole old age of dark December, the Christmas candle's silver glow is boldly burning in the cold sheds light on roses sent from heaven. December love exalts me up from frosty numb and silvery flakes, shelters the path from chilly winter, beams like the dazzling ardent rays, governs the way to our new home. Save olden days become a shuttle, pushing the shuttles far behind, surges unswerving towards the sun. In the poem. And I see it's taken from a quote by Neruda. I could tell on that.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead and read it. The quote, please.
All right. It says, I want to do with you what spring does of the cherry trees. And there's another quote there by Philip Larkin that says, what will survive of us is love. So there's actually two quotes there.
Yeah, you know, you read this so beautifully. The imagery was gorgeous as well as the metaphors. You know, and I do believe this. It does not matter how old you are, the age difference when love is sparked. And this is what, you know, that so many of us hope for when, you know, you think that you're never going to find that type of relationship that you're looking for. And this just to me was, it gives you hope to believe in love, that love will find its way. And I really loved where he said, and you read it beautifully, Frank, Robert, where your poem, December ardor leads me out from a sightless box I've dwelled in vain, into a cloudless verdant meadow, transforms the heavens blue again, wakes up refrains that chant within, recoils the spring, comes back alive, reblooms the darling buds of May, reverses grain, hair, back, black. And I loved, you know, where, you know, he pointed out how he was blind in this box, just alone, and this person came into his life, and that box opened up and to see the meadows and the heavens. And, you know, when you get up in the morning and you're happy to get up and you sing that song because you're thinking of that person that makes you happy. And it does make you feel as if you are alive. And no matter what you've gone through, the pains, the agonies, the aging, for somebody to make you feel like you're 13 again, 16, it's just a wonderful feeling to have that feeling. And I thought that was perfectly met to the quote of Pablo Neruda. What did you think of the poem, Weaver?
Oh, it was lovely, isn't it? Really nice to know that there's always going to be love if you look in the right place and don't allow yourself to, you know, become not so much lazy, not complacent, just don't really care too much. That's when things go from bad to worse, I reckon. But I love the fact that from the second stanza onward, we have starting with December and then another word, obviously a different word each time. So each stanza starts with December, and I like that. I like a repeat. Because it does. It does hold everything together. It makes you think, oh, yes, here we come. And December does what this time? December love.
Mm-hmm.
December ardor. That's a lovely word. Yeah, I like that. So, yes, I thought it was a lovely awakening of what might have been a very dry, barren life. And then love comes along. And, all right, sometimes love is absolutely awful. And sometimes love hurts.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a cue for a song, but I won't do it. So yes, I think this is lovely, and it's very uplifting, I thought, and I liked it a lot. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you. And what did you think, Laurent?
Well, I think we all have certain seasons of our life and sometimes December, the cold wind and icy snow can be an emotional season for you when things are bleak and there's really no joy on the horizon. I like so much what you just said, Lou, you about feeling 13 again, feeling 16 again. When that happens, yes, December does bloom a Christmas rose as sultry as the summer haze, giving a gentle hope that the brumal days of winter gloom will never come. The use of the contrast between December, as Katie said, beginning each stanza, and the antithesis, absolutely wonderful, recalling the darling buds of May, the mellow wave filling out the aimless, frigid void. She does that contrast so nicely, really points up the importance of December love and how it exalts me up from frosty, numb silver flakes. Really great metaphors, great piece.
Agreed. Thank you. Wonderful comment, Laurent. And what did you think, Frank?
That was wonderful. He uses December. This is standard in this poem. And I think that, you know, what Laurent said was just brilliant and very, very truthful there. Seasons are at times we measure our experiences, in particular love, to, you know, the way we feel in a certain season, you know. And you know, melancholy could be one of those things, or it could be something such beautiful as love, you know. So it's just a conglomeration of emotions there. But he did a fantastic job with this poem. I thought it was beautiful from beginning to end.
I agree. I agree. Beautiful comment, Frank. And how about you, Greg?
I thought it was beautiful as well. You know, it was about finding love in the December of our lives, and that's a beautiful thing. So I thought it was just fascinating.
It was. And your birthday's this month, correct?
It is, yeah, you bet.
Mm-hmm. What day? So we can all wish you happy birthday. Let everybody know.
On the 17th.
17th? Mm-hmm. So, happy birthday early.
Thank you.
But,
and, happy birthday as well, if I'm not able to see you there, Gray. I'm not seeing you, but if I'm not able to catch you on the radio on that day.
Actually, I have a show that day.
Okay.
Aha.
That's even better then.
Yay.
Well, there we go. So, then we know where we're going for tequila on that day, no? On that night? Laurent, what's your just in there?
Shots and gummies, yeah. Well, way to go. Okay, we are now into our open poetry, Katie. I've sent you recordings to Phil, but I don't know if she's online. If she is,
okay.
She will send me a note and say that it's uploaded. So, sorry.
Okay. That's all right. I just realized we didn't have many. I didn't realize we didn't have many. That's all I would have put it in earlier. But you know me.
Okay, you can read it if you want to. Or okay, mm-hmm. Great. Okay, so.
Okay, so just give me a moment.
Okay.
I hadn't even noticed what title
it
was.
You've got to scroll all the way down.
Yeah. La, 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 la. Okay. Oh,
Mary Poppins tonight, dear Weaver.
Oh, I've had a wee whiskey or two, and you know what they say about whiskey. It's
very
whiskey.
Scottish whiskey.
Whiskey.
I understand that completely.
Irish
there.
Whiskey right now. My
coffee
makes
you whiskey, and brandy makes you happy.
Yeah. I'll pick up the sherry for tonight.
Right, I'm on the ball here, mateys. We're doing this. Are we doing this? Oh, yes, we're doing this. Oh, my God. Ah, sigh of relief. We have, Aperture of Our Precariousness by Stone Causeways. And, Gray, would you read this, please?
Sure, you bet.
Thank you.
Okay, no problem. Aperture
precariousness toward, sorry, I'm having trouble seeing here, toward apex of sauna. Hold on. I'm having trouble seeing here.
No, it's okay. I'll read it if you like. No problem. Okay?
Sure, if you don't mind. Thank you.
No, not at all. My pleasure. Right, here we go. Oh, no, it's a long one. What am I doing? Okay, here we are. Oh, towards apex of azure basin, white caps spread, burnished moss banks of recollection bed. Dame Nature tarried ear with respiring heart, beguiled radiant strife unto perilous start. Lavish treasure tore me asunder, seen in such time of roses thunder, lush era of virtued secrecy, my allure to thine likened to me. Danced from dusk zeal's cloak prairie, gracing smile akin lustrous parterre, as minstrel song and nightingale dream kiss blessed altar of rapturous stream. Deposed by pompous society, caught through deep desolate guise of me, travail embodied, exploited blight, gleam of sheer ice within mists of night. Toward apex of azure basin, white caps spread, burnished moss banks of recollection's bed, in nature tarried ear with respiring heart, beguiled radiant strife unto perilous start. End poem.
You did a fantastic job of reading this. Thank you so much, Katie. And this was a fantastic poem by Stone Cause Waves. And let's get some comments. What did you think about the poem, Laurent?
It's complex and it's rhyming, and I like that. Mm. Especially things like dance from dust zeal's cloak prairie, gracing smile akin lustrous parterre, as minstrel song and nightingale's dream, kiss blessed altar of rapturous stream. It's beautifully written. Really a nice front page pick. I like the way he refers to Mother Nature. It's a great story. Very passionate.
Agreed. And what did you think about the poem, Frank?
Well, you know, I first of all, it was a great read there, Weaver. You know, I would have stumbled a bit to some words, especially with the long day I've had there. So you did a great job of reading. I thought this poem was just unique in many ways, and unique in its metaphors, unique in its rhyming. But I like just the personification of the dame as in Mother Nature there. So I got the poem in that regard. He did a fantastic job there, and I thought it was just a great reader.
Yeah, I agree. You know, his rhyme, it wasn't soft, it was tight, and you could feel it. Especially, you know, when I was listening to Katie Reed dance from Dusk Zeal, Cloak Prairie, Bracing Smile, Ken Lusterus. How do you pronounce that? I mean, I don't want to mispronounce it. How do you pronounce that, Laurent?
What, about there?
Yeah, what is that?
The ground, the floor.
Oh. As minstrel song and nightingale's dream, kiss less altar of rapturous stream. I just loved how it flowed, but it was almost like a corset for me. It felt tight, and I enjoyed that. I enjoyed his imagery. It was beautiful how he speaks of nature. I like the repetitive stanzas, the first stanza and the second stanza, how, you know, it just... where it says, Dame Nature tiered ear with whispering heart, beguiled radiant strive unto perilous start. I just, you know, the white, the color, the azure, the burnished moss things, you could see that recollection bed. And, you know, I thought this was just, it was beautiful. And what did you think, Gray?
Well, the poem was fantastic. You did a beautiful job reading it, Weaver. Thank you for doing that. And, you know, I liked it. I liked the reference to nature throughout, and I thought it was just wonderfully written, so beautiful job.
And thank you, Gray. And what did you think about the poem that you just read, Katie?
Well, I apologize. I stumbled a little bit on a couple of the words, but it happens, I'm afraid. So I can only apologize for that. But I loved the wordage. Is that a word? Wordage. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it
it sounds good to me.
Invented it. We'll go with that one anyway. I thought it was very, very clever and beautiful words used. It's kind of harkened back to, a sort of an older era. And I love that kind of, the way, you know, thou and thee and thus. I love all that. I would speak like that if I could, but they'd probably put me away. But I think...
Why?
Well, that's probably because they think I'm either drunk or crazy, which I am. Both. But
Americans have always struggled with the English language, you know? They speak American.
We are divided by the same language.
I think we all have
common
language. You know, you're right, because there's so many, even in here, like you can go from one. And like you go to Louisiana, you got the Cajun. It's kind of, and then the Deep South, the slang. You go up north. You know, pop the car. You know, everybody, even here in the States, you may be in the United States, but you go from the Spanish Latino sections, and you go down to the Deep South, and you go to Louisiana, and you go up north. And everybody has a different accent with different word slang. It's something else.
It is fascinating.
Like a ton of stories of those.
Yes. Yeah. First of all, I love the American accents. I love them all. I think they're just wonderful. To me, they're exotic because I'm listening to people from Glasgow. Can you imagine? Hi, Hen, how you going, Paul? Not the nicest thing. No, not the nicest. So I love this kind of play on words and the older words, and I have always enjoyed them. But I think this has been done to perfection. I can understand why I stumbled a little bit sometimes, because the words are good. When I don't know a word, it's good. So, yes, I think he did a wonderful job.
Thank you so much. And thank you for pronouncing that word for me. And I am a stickler for pronunciation. So can you say that word again for me, Laurent, if you remember? What is it?
Well, the problem with that word, and I got to be careful here, is that you have to roll your R's just slightly in two places. It's difficult to say. It's parterre.
Parterre.
You're rolling the R's in the front. You got to roll it, the guttural roll, in the back of your throat. Parterre.
That kind of reminds me a little bit of the German when you speak with the back of your tongue.
Yeah,
there you go.
Ach, there. See, once you said that, I could do it. You would make a great coach for pronunciation, because I really appreciate it. Because
let me correct you. It's pronunciation.
Yes, we'll say that. Laurent, I heard that too.
Okay. You know what my mama says when you make fun of somebody like that, Laurent?
Yeah,
I would never make fun of you if it wasn't totally advantageous to.
Yeah, there
you go. No, okay. There's a thing we have down here, and don't be offended. But when somebody goes like that and they tease you like that, you look at them and you smile and you go, como caca. And everybody should know what that means. There we go.
Naughty.
Ready for our next poem, Katie.
I apologize. I have a weakness for openings.
No.
Hands of
don't
worms.
Be.
Opening cans of worms.
No. People. Yeah, we know that if you open up a can of worms, we'll play with the worms with you, even if we might scream and run around you.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Wouldn't he like them?
We got
I hear you, Pandora.
I wrote a poem about Pandora, funnily enough, and her box, which you can't actually say without sounding rude. But
ooh,
yeah.
True.
Okay. Are we moving on or?
Yeah. Well, wait until you see that. Wait until you see that picture.
Okay. We've got Just for One Night by Poetic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to have a look at the picture now. Am I going to faint?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Waiting
yes,
for this.
You are.
Bated breath.
Okay, Gray. You're our button pusher.
I'm on it. Here we go.
Mi amor. The first time I laid eyes on you, I saw a glow of the twinkling stars, a radiance of the universe through the romantic lens of your exotic eyes, silvery moonbeams in pellucid sparkles of your seductive smile. Your eyes were a beauty of pearly luster, of gemmy moonstones. Your dulcet tone enraptured me like a ravenous passion. My thirsty lips begged for a cool sip of your erotic kiss. Your redolent perfumes thus stimulated my sensual sentience. The pleasures behind your dalliance in the taste of your amber honey. I wanted to bathe in the deepest ocean of your lust, plunge into the orgasmic typhoon of your lunar swells, be soaked inside the acoustic waves of powerful shivers, explore every wet temptation of one interminable night. The chorus of our lovemaking tangled with the motion of our hips. The heat of your body covered me like a flame from head to toe, till I was consumed by the aching ashes of our melting bones. The first kiss was French, ooh la la, but the last one was Spanish, olé. Tu boca de no me sed, de tus ricos labios bebí, y comerci el sabor de tu vino, tan dulce sobre mis papilas gustativas. Your mouth filled my glass, from your juicy lips I drank, and I knew the taste of your wine, so sweet upon my taste buds, my wild dove. Olé. Olé. In the poem.
Oh, boy. Well, my first reaction was, I... tan delicioso, Francisco. That was deeply passionate, deeply hot, deeply erotic. I like the luster of gemmy moonstones. You know, moonstones have a meaning in for Irish and also for Native Americans, and it's one of my favorite stones. And then that moon color and luster and the specks of the colors that dance in the moonstones, your dulcet tone enraptured me in like ravenous passion. My thirsty lips begged for the cool sip your erotic kiss. If you can get past that picture and then with your reading and the music, it's almost, you know, it's almost like, oh, too much to handle. Stop, stop. But then you go, no, no, don't stop. Okay. Weaver, you're up next. What did you
do? It was lovely.
Yeah.
I say, listen. Talk about Olay. What about Olay? Damn good.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Ah, waves of powerful shivers explore every wet temptation of one interminable night. Oh, just the one then. That's not good enough. I think this. You'll have to stop excelling yourself because I'm going to be a greasy blob and I won't even be able to key the mic. So please, read it back, my dear boy. Read it back. Oh, just wonderful. And I really enjoyed it. I wish I understood the beautiful language at the end of it, but I don't need to because it sounds wonderful. So I know it's going to be sweet and sexy.
The Spanish version is just...
Oh, I get it. Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah, he translates it from Spanish to English. Mm. Yeah, thank you,
so
Frank.
Thank you, Frank.
You
yeah,
welcome.
I agree. Everybody's thanking
you. Thank you very much,
Frank.
In particular, you know. In particular, you know.
Your mouth filled my thirst from your juicy lips I drank. Mm. And I knew the taste of your wine so sweet upon my taste buds, my wild dove. I just want to say at the outset that favorite prey of the hawk is the wild dove. So just saying. Now, I will stand by my words. The first time I read this, in the finest sense of romantic poetry, you employ a lovely, passionate hyperbole that plunges the reader into a sexual sensorium that is all in developing. The tone of the reed is deeply felt and adds depth to the writing with a fine performance. And
I appreciate that.
Oh.
Thank you very
much. That was a fantastic comment, Laurent.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Gracias.
And Gray.
Well, you are the master of seductive poetry, in my opinion. You captured... the essence of being so attracted to somebody that, you know, it just overtakes you. So just a beautiful write and read.
Well, I appreciate that. And I hope that everyone knows that's not me on the pit there, but stuff is ugly to some people.
I recognize the tattoo, Frank.
There you go. There you go. I think that's Lou there too.
Yeah, especially on Wednesday night.
Oh, there you go.
And if you would love to have a wonderful time of beautiful, seductive, and sensual poetry, we are always here, and Gray's going to be doing Christmas art of sensuality. And Gray, do you know what you're doing yours on?
Yes, I do. It's, just 1 second here.
Frolicking Elves.
Is that for this
Frolicking
Wednesday?
Elves.
Yeah, it's Unwrap Your Christmas Gift.
And so he'll be doing that. And just to let everybody know, Christmas week.
Okay, yeah, because I thought it was Phil.
He'll be doing Christmas week.
I'll look at it. I'll check that one out as well.
Yeah. So just to let everybody know, all the evening groups starting, I believe, Sunday or Monday, I'm not too sure, will start because Christmas is on Sunday. She will probably be doing it Sunday to Sunday, and all of us will be doing contests. For that, and Weaver has honored me to help me do the Christmas contest we'll be doing, and I'm going to be doing mine on missile to wishes, take a quote. I have 16 quotes up there to tickle any fancy you have, and I'm doing pretty good. I've got 6 rights already, and so everybody's going to be welcome to spend the whole Christmas week with all of us in our contest and poetry, so please join us. And Katie, we're back to you.
Okay, and what we have here is When All Isn't What It Seems by N. Chain. Doesn't that sound intriguing? Right, I'll read this because I've not done much. Okay. When All Isn't What It Seems. I wore my supple bones in frail grey paint as I would worship the rising sun, its eternal presence, as it was up in heavens. After even sense, it stills, pressing the wretched goose flesh of my bosom, dressed in transparent war-torn silk with peekaboo bits of old lace, light struck but yet shrouded in permanent white mist. Cloud stealing papers over, the intricate hairline cracks of an hourglass's sanguine sky encased in storm's breath, birth ripples caught up in dream's hunger strike cries. My floppy limbs like template, glass forming floating just above the meadow's yester side, gilded in line of flight where sleepy fireflies, soul bind then doing some form of floor exercise. Night leaves a vivid bruise on the gospel wings while Brit's black mandrel winds bare sludge-silked fingerprints, tanning oak trees' upper jaundiced hips as scarred as angels naked, forever dripping clean across virgin soil, soiled bed of roses covered petticoats in long bewintered fields of alpine glow. End poem.
Oh my goodness. I have got to say, you read her poem beautifully. She uses metaphors that literally cry out the pain that she feels and that she has gone through in her life. She starts off, I wore my several bones in frail gray paint as I worship the rising sun, its eternal presence, as if it was in heavens and effervescent, it stills. You know, you can just feel the heaviness, you know, of somebody that, those to me at times that go to heaven, if this is what you believe in, are those that it wasn't so much their good, but how they held up with the scars of suffering that they've gone through. And, you know, Joe, I love her. And she has gone through so much pain in her life. And, you know, I can just feel, you know, where she talks about the mandrel winds, the bare sludge, silk fingertips, tanning oak trees, upper jaundiced hips is scarred as angels naked. You know, some angels are, they are the most broken, but also the most beautiful. In fact, that is, you know, one of the things, not trying to get scriptural, but that is one of the things that, you know, that the scriptures point out, that God loves the broken the most. And he cherishes those because he can see their pain and their suffering and how even in this world, you know, it is, somebody had put up a quote and they said that even if you've gone through a lot in your life, don't allow it to harden your heart like it has hardened others. And, you know, I have always believed that, you know, I don't want to become you. And I thought that she did this so beautifully and so painfully and beautifully, especially with the forever dripping clean across virgin soil, bed of rose covered petticoats in the long be winter fields of Athen glow for finally when there is peace and beauty in somebody's life. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, I found it very poignant, very, well, I found it sad. This is somebody when you have something like, you know, you're reading something like cloud ceilings papers over the intricate hairline cracks of an hourglass's sanguine, I can't say that word, sky encased in storm's breath. Just beautiful. I mean, it really is. That's, it does. It tells you of the pain. It tells you of the hardships, but does it in such a way that you want to read it. You want to read the words because they're so beautifully put together. So I have to say that I liked it a great deal. And so thank you very much for sharing it. And James.
Thank you. And what did you, thank you, Weaver. What did you think of that?
Metaphors and imagery swirl in my mind's eye. I think that abstraction finds its shape in these words. Meanings creep out slowly at first, and striking with the force of the reader's comprehension. The last stanza especially had me all the way from Knights to Alpenglow. Great stuff.
Agreed. Thank you so much, Laurent. And what did you think, Frank?
I thought it was a very powerful poem, an admission of the pain that one is suffering. You know, when we use our, you know, metaphors here, they're so striking, particularly in this poem, when we use them,
Frank?
His connection is shaky.
It completely dropped off. I can't hear anything, Frank. I don't know if it's where you're at or your phone. Are you back? Okay, he dropped. Hopefully he'll call back. Greg, what did you think of the poem, Joe's poem?
Well, it was rich, layered, metaphoric, and very stunning in its presentation. You did a beautiful job reading it, Weaver. But, you know, there's so much pain emanating from this that it's just heart-wrenching, you know. Forever dripping, clean across, virgin, soiled bed of rose-covered petticoats in long, bewintered fields of afterglow. Just haunting imagery. And the emotion is powerful.
Great. Beautiful comment, Gray. Thank you. And Frank, I know you got dropped, but if you can, call back. Okay, and we're back to Katie. And we only got 22 minutes left. I don't know where, you know what, I love you guys so much, and this poetry is so amazing, and listening to your comments, and, you know, us, it feels like we're all together in a coffee shop somewhere, and enjoying each other and each other's company and joking around. And that's what I love about these radio shows, because I get to spend time with the people I love. And we're back to you, Katie.
Okay, my darling, and straight back at you. Love you to bits. We have Word Miser by Jack Tomkovic. Oh, I love that name, Tomkovic.
Mm-hmm.
And could I ask you to read this, please?
By all means, let me get back there. Hang on 1 second for me, please.
No problem.
Okay. Word Miser by Jack Tomkovic. I don't try to overwhelm fortresses with words anymore. Choose them sparingly with terse distaste. An old man parting with a 20 that tucked away for a month. Silas Marner at the dollar store, searching the discount drawer. Aunt Edna at the flea market, jawboning like an Arab camel trader over some used spatula, cookie cutter, or Bee Gees album. Don't ask for longer poems. And get off my lawn. End poem.
And you've got to read this author notes for me, please. Lauren.
Just the ramblings of an old poet. Ha! Enjoy.
I have got to say, Jack is fantastic. He has so many faces, and his poetry can go in a 360 degree. You never know what you're going to get. And, you know, he says he's an old word miser. You know, I have got to say, his imagery is it is fun. I love poetry where I can see and feel what the poet is trying to say, and that's what makes it so spectacular. You know, like him saying, an old man parting with a 20, he's had tucked away for a month. You know, a Silas Marner at the dollar store searching for a discount drawer, and Edna at the flea market. Well, you know what? These are all the places I like to go. I love the dollar store.
I love the dollar store flea market.
And I'm stingy with my $20 bill because I don't want to. I want quality, and I buy quality, but I want it at a discount price. I love this poem, and I love the way you read it, Laurent. You just made it come to life. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, very funny. Word miter. Wonderful. And that last stanza, don't ask for longer poems and get off my lawn.
Yes.
I saw Aunt Edna at the flea market, and I want to meet that lady. Jawboning like an Arab camel trader. Very good. Did you get the hump? No, probably not. Yes, very, very. I love his stuff and his poems, and it was very clever. And I do enjoy the humor. I always enjoy the humor. People can get dark. People can get, overwhelmed sometimes. But when you have humor in your life, you have a great deal. Thank you.
I agree. You know, and they actually said that that people who are in long-term relationships, and I'm talking long-term, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, the number one thing that keeps a relationship together is being able to laugh, being able to laugh. And second is to, forgive and just keep moving, choose your fight. Some fights don't need to be fought. Some, you got to hold your ground. But I do believe laughter makes the love go round and round. I agree, Weaver. How about you, Laurent?
I love the tone of this. It's completely understood by one old man from another. I really like the observational aspect of the poem. And look, I'm on a public sidewalk, not your lawn.
Excellent comment. And how about you, Frank?
Yes, I too have to agree with his his wit, his humor. It's unmatched. He talks about something that's so personal, yet it's so relevant. I too go to these places, the dollar store, and at times the flea market, and that. So I can see how this poem can relate to me in many ways, the BGL to some extent. But it's a simple poem, but even though it's a simple poem in words, it's a relatable poem. And in that regard, he did a fantastic job.
Agree. Thank you, Frank. And Gray, I know you take your mom. She's a fan of the dollar store. What did you think of this poem?
And the thrift store.
There you go.
And I thought it was excellent, beautifully read, Lawrence. But it really speaks to how people get in life. When they get old, they don't want to be pushed around in life. So I thought it was just an excellent poem. Don't ask for longer poems and get off my lawn.
Short and sweet, and I enjoyed it. I've got to tell you, I collect clocks. I love clocks. Ever since my mom took me to see Pinocchio when I was a kid, I have been hooked. I love clocks. Click, 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 dong, 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 bing, bing, bing. I don't care.
You have a vintage clock?
Oh, I have lots of them. I bought a clock for, I think, like $120, and I put it on layaway because it is a thrift shop. And she let me put it on layaway, and then I found it online, the same clock worth over $2,000. And then I also, because, I ride a motorcycle, I went to a thrift store. I went to Goodwill. Yes, Goodwill. And they were having a sale on coats because it's hot down here. So people come down here and they just give away all their clothes because you can't wear it down here. And I got a leather-lined name jacket that goes, it looks like the Matrix jackets, all the way down to my ankles. And it was on clearance, and I got it on clearance, and I paid like $10
for it. Well, you have to show us then now. You've got to show
brand
us the pics there.
Well, so I'm totally with Jack. I like going shopping, so that bargain shopping. I'm not a fan of, like, spending a lot of money. Why? I can't take it with you. All right.
That's true.
All right, so here we go. We are ready for our next poem, Katie. And I believe it's you.
She has a song called, no?
Let me see if Phil was ever able to put it up, or Ray and I can, let's see. Arcana, Kanowski, you, Frank, and me. No, she wasn't able to put it up. Katie, you're going to have to read it.
That's fine. That's why I do SoundCloud, because I stuff it all the time when it's my stuff. I don't know why, but the other day I couldn't even record the poem I'd written, because every time I did, I just made a complete mess of it. So I just had to put it on blind.
Well,
okay, here we are. So
you know,
bear with me.
All of us, you'll be fine. You read very well.
Okay, here we go. This is called My Mind. Night is my time to stroll unseen. The dark velvet sky is my cloak. Alone and content as the silence soothes my mind. What need I of any companionship? As idle chatter is anathema to me. All is gossip and puerile innuendo cluttering my mind. I am watched by all those around me, considered odd or perhaps dangerous. If only they knew how well I hide loud voices in my mind. So far I have fought valiantly against them, but some are titillating suggestions indeed. Still, fear of hell beckoning on my demise strengthened my mind. Yet I look at those bags of flesh and bone, imagining who I'd pick first to help silence the clamoring for spilled blood and death screaming in my mind. What harm would picking on one do? Who'd notice? Nancy next door hasn't stopped asking me in for a drink. Seeing her inside, outside, might help quieten my mind. End poem.
Oh, my goodness, Weaver, this is deliciously wicked. It's so deeply sci-fi because, you know, you open it up. And, you know, I look at the picture, and I don't know exactly where you're taking this, you know, because, you know, I like the night. I love, you know. That first stanza, I thought, oh, yeah, you know, this doesn't sound like it's going to, you know, the night is my time to stroll and steam. The dark velvet sky is my cloak. Alone and content as the silence soothes my mind. You know, how do we not put ourselves in that imagery and that stanza? But then you start going on and we start seeing that blackening evil that's swirling in his mind, the voices that are telling him to, you know, that he will only find peace when, you know, being a, to me, this is a serial killer, you know, event,
yep.
He's going to turn into a serial killer. And, you know, and it's always, you know, it's funny how they always, because I was watching the series of Batman, I don't know what it's called, but it was a TV series of Gotham, and it just reminded me of one of the characters in there, you know, those voices that just tell you it just screaming, you know, to commit the darkness that is swirling in their mind. And I thought you did that fantastic. This was just fantastic. I really enjoyed it, Weaver.
Thank you.
What did you think, Laurent?
Where to start? You know, the part of the terror of this is that it's presented in such a way, written in such a way that it seems completely believable. The rationale behind a loner who is so occupied with the voices loud in his mind and as a result shuns companionship, shuns idle chatter, which clutters up his mind because it's that dialogue he's having with the voices in his mind that predominates. And the fact that he acknowledges the fear of hell beckoning. And even though it signals his demise, it seems to strengthen his resolve. And so far, to me, it's just a beautiful explanation. And you talk about the bags of flesh and blood and bone so distantly, so anatomically, without emotion, it makes it even stronger. And your ending, seeing her outside, inside, might help quiet my mind. Is just delicious. This is so well written.
Thank you. That's very nice.
See? I told you. Thank you, Laura. What a great comment. And how about you, Frank?
Well, you know, this actually was very, if I can say, the elements there, you took me to a bit of wandering there, if that was Cthulhu there in the background there, but this poem is what has been said before, really does touch on what Lovecraft dealt with in his short stories, was the unknown, and in this case, the unknown of the human mind, and how deeply affected it can be, how much we dread the human mind. I just thought it was just a fantastic prompt, fantastic poem. Did a great job, an excellent job, and it took me back to Lovecraft for tonight on this poem here.
Thank you. That's very nice of you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you, Frank. And Gray?
Well, Weaver, you know, you've got a dark mind at times, eh?
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Especially there being an early morning for her.
Yeah. What harm would picking one do? Who'd notice? Nancy next door hasn't stopped asking me to pop in for a drink. Seeing her insides outside might help quiet in my mind. Like, how epic is that? That's just haunting. Beautiful job, Weaver.
Thank you. But don't worry, I'm not dangerous.
Thank you, Weaver.
I'm wondering there, Weaver. I'm wondering.
And, yeah. You're not going to believe this. We only have 6 minutes left, so we have enough time for another poem.
Okay, I'll just pick one from one of the front page picks because we've run out of open poetry.
That's fine.
Okay, so I'm getting up here. La, 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 la. Okay, I got one. I got one.
Okay.
I got nowhere to put it. Oh, here we are. I've got about 16 pages open. Please bear with me.
Yeah, I've got a lot of pages open, too.
Ah, here we are. A little place for you to stay. Right, this is... You're a Brave Lad, Ain't Ya? Got Mittens. By Lulia. Lulia, would you like to read this, please?
Oh, boy. Okay. So this might be
oh, sorry. Have I picked the wrong
one? I wonder if she's... Now, which one are you going to put
up? Oh, no. I'll put up another one because that's too long. We won't have time for it.
Okay.
Oh, here we are. I got one. Oh, my goodness me. I should really look at them before I put them out, shouldn't I? Minutes are ticking away. Hey, minutes are ticking away. Churn.
That's okay. We can always grab a tequila bottle afterwards.
True.
Okay. Oh, is by Amy?
Yes, churned.
Did you want me to read that?
Yes, please. With my mouth is so dry,
okay.
I can't do it again.
Are you going to have time to read it?
Thank you. Yes, well, here we go. Churned by A.R. Mendel, or Amy. She freed Melissa from the rubble. Her plastic arm had cracked. Her skirt was torn by window panes, now sharp and sofa wrapped. Her mother told her to stay close as her eyes took in the scene of the wreckage spread about like wares selling all that they'd once been. A kitchen pipe was in the tree whilst the car sank down below, red bin balanced on the roof of debris piled up like snow. Her father screamed into the void of their once welcoming home, now open to the elements, missing all from chair to comb. It banked upon the once flat street like a boat caught by a breeze. The curtain that still clung to it could now flap about with ease. The metal bed frame could be seen only downstairs now, not up, peeking through the window slats where they should be taken up. Lily's house was on its side. Their bin was by Mom's feet. There was not a single house still standing on the street. End poem. Oh, my goodness. You would have to see this picture. This is what it looks like after a hurricane, the desolation that this causes. And I thought that her imagery was powerful and, strong. And, it's just so painful, just like this. You can just see the agony because she's saying her father screamed into the void of their once welcoming home, now open to the elements, which means everything's open in your home and everything's missing from chair to comb, the desolation that people go through. This was a powerful poem, very well written, and even if you did not see the picture, you could just feel the desolation. This was wonderful. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, terribly, terribly good. I mean, I know people go through this. It must be so awful. And when you see, as you say, you could know exactly what the story was without the picture because it's so beautifully written and so descriptive. I would feel so sorry for anybody. You know, your home is precious, and the items in that home, doubly precious. So that must be the most terrible thing to happen. So thank you very much for sharing that with us. I really enjoyed it, Amy.
Thank you. And what did you think, Laurent?
It banked upon the once flat street like a boat caught by a breeze. The curtain that still clung to it could now flap about with ease. Visceral descriptions of horrific damage in a hurricane's aftermath. Well-delivered terse lines accent the scene vividly. Well-written.
Agreed. Yeah, the destructive forces. Thank you. And Frank, comment, please.
Yes, I'll be brief here. It's a very powerful poem, vivid imagery, and it's a stark reality of what happens, unfortunately, in our lives. It touches so many. Great poem.
Agreed. Thank you, Frank. Great. Gray Eyes?
Sorry, I was having trouble with my mute button. She really captures the impact of a tornado a hurricane and its devastation. Just powerful, right? Beautifully presented.
Agreed. Thank you. And thank you. Thank you so much. I want to thank all my callers today, Weaver and Ron, Frank and Gray, and I also want to shout out to Jill for all the help that she does in putting up our SoundCloud. And I want to thank Robbie and Dave for hanging out in the group. And I love you guys, and we will be doing more front page pictures next Monday with open poetry, so feel free to join us. I love you guys. Besos. Kisses to everybody.
Besitos.
Besitos. Good night, all.
Buenas noches.
Good night, my dears.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Care,
buenas noches. Good night. Thank
you.
Love you guys. It's
so well for tequila now.
Oh, and gummy bears. Gummy bears, please.
Yes, oh, yes. Gummy bears. Gummy bears. All
there
right.
We go.
Night, guys. Later. Love you. Night.
Bye.
Take care.